caddy. On the driving range's fairway, hundreds of yellow balls sprout like buttercups out past the white on black 50, 60, and 90-yard signs. My 89-year-old father-in-law, with Parkinson's, 1 yard short of the grave, wants to practice his hitting, chipping, and putting. Irwin can't drive, so I drive him in his old Volvo station wagon with his battered black and red leather bag of golf clubs to the driving range. I caddy for him, carry the bag that he can't lift. Bored, knowing nothing of the art of golf, I read the large sign, today's course rules, posted on two freestanding boards whose hinged tops lean together to form an upside-down V. I have to ask Irwin to explain the rules. The first is carts scatter. Oh, that means we're supposed to drive our golf carts in the most unpredictable patterns possible across the fairway, so we don't make ruts by all going the same way. The course rules start to sound like parables, some parabola formed by the intersection of truth's right circular cone with a plane parallel to the truth's sides. Preferred lies, the second rule, Irwin says, means that you're permitted to pick up any ball you hit into the rough and change its position, its lie, so that you can hit it more easily. The course rules seem like rules for old age. Never mention death directly. Irwin speaks of his friend Ron, who went to heaven 2 weeks ago. Always use euphemism, avoid the rough, lies are preferred. Do not say that Ron is dying of inoperable lung cancer and is under hospice care. Remark merely that he seems to be failing, as if life were an exam for which he hadn't crammed half enough. Even I can figure out the next two rules. Please repair ball marks means to replace the divots and stomp them down with cleated golf shoes. Leave the course as you found it. Make amends for the wrongs you have done the good ground. Keep pace of play is the final rule. Don't go slow, neither hurry your game. Wait for partners not as fast as you. Not to be platitudinous, but patience is all. You must last the full 18 holes. Irwin tires after hitting 6 balls down the driving range. It's hot. He sits in the shade of the green kiosk, sips ice water from a conical paper cup he's filled at the 5-gallon yellow igloo container. He takes off his khaki golf cap, which says in blue letters, U.S. Open 2006, winged foot, surrounding the logo of a gold bag of golf clubs with wings. His winged feet are lead, size 12, encased in white crew socks and white leather shoes. He sits stooped under a brass clock 3 feet in diameter, so all golfers can see it from across the fairways. Its black hands say 9:27 on a Wednesday morning in early June. Honeysuckle is blooming. I inhale its thin fragrance like the perfume of a young woman with long tan legs in white crisp-pressed culottes, who sways so close by us on her way to the practice putting green that I can see the sweat pearl her upper lip. Irwin wants to follow her and putt too. I heave the awkward bag of clubs onto my left shoulder It bangs heavily against my hip. The practice green has four holes, four yellow flags that cast their long, westward-pointing shadows like giant sundials. No one knows the hour that death will come, a snickering caddy asking you to choose a nine iron or lob wedge for that last swing. From the bag that I hold out to him, Irwin takes his brass-plated putter. His first putt goes 3 feet short. He shrugs. "Watch this," he says, and aims for the far flag 8 yards away. His humpbacked shadow hunches over the small white ball. He swings his putter like a pendulum. The ball rolls over the close-mown turf, which gives and springs beneath our hard rubber soles. The ball rims the cup, wobbles, and falls in. I cheer. Irwin stands as straight as his osteoporosis will let him. He bends, picks up a forgotten tee, says, "Finders keepers," grins.